We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to another Welcome to the J episode. This is season 3, episode number 6. Whew. We've got a lot to talk about, but before we get into it, make sure you guys subscribe to the Philly 68 Media Network. We definitely need you to do that. This program is growing a little bit, and it's all thanks to you guys listening and giving feedback, and we certainly definitely appreciate it. So make sure to, you know, like and subscribe, share it amongst your friends. Let's see if we get our numbers up a little bit more as the year progresses. Our next guest, our sixth guest of the Welcome to the J Season 3 podcast, is one of my all-time favorite teammates. He spent 4 years as a walk-on for the boys. He's a product of Creighton Prep, where his senior year he helped the team win state, averaged 13 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists in the process. He's my brother, my homie, and a new father at that. Let's go. Taylor Stormberg, a.k.a. Thundercat, is in the J with your boy, Taylor. What up, brother?
Oh, my gosh. What up, Jay? How we doing, man?
I'm doing good, bro. How are you doing? Lack of sleep, I'm assuming. Like, I know I'm the first one to bring this up. You're a new father now. How are you feeling?
Yeah, it feels good, man. It feels good. Definitely a different stage of life, that is for sure. But it's been incredible. Little Ruby just turned 2 months old yesterday. So she's growing every day. And I'm trying to figure out how to be a dad. So it's a good thing that she doesn't know that I have no clue what I'm doing. It's a really good day.
I feel like you're the oldest too. So I feel like the first boys. I talked to my oldest brother about that. Like, parents are just trying to figure it out. They're just surviving.
You have no clue what's happening. You're just like, hey, we did this yesterday and it worked. I think maybe we should try it again. And it just has the complete opposite effect. And then you're throwing spaghetti at the wall, man. That's really all you do.
Every day is pretty much what was that toy called? Like an Etch-a-Sketch? Yeah. When you shake and it goes back to blank, that's every day.
Yeah, and you just back to the drawing board, right?
Like, right.
Hey, we need to come up with some new X's and O's.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Jays could have used some X's and O's this past Sunday, unfortunately, and that's one of my perhaps many digs that I'll have today. We'll see. We got to get right into it, I guess, right? Okay. Like, what a way to set it up. The tragedy that it was to lose to Nebraska at home. I know I'm speaking as a former Jay, as a Jays fan now, watching just a very disappointing loss. That's the game that you really don't want to lose, you know, like that game against Nebraska means everything to the people of Omaha, the campus. I'm sure this week has been, kind of a sad week as students are mourning, walking through campus. We had a women's volleyball lose. We had men's basketball lose. Women's basketball lost for their first game this year, too. Only good thing is Coach Torres out here with the soccer boys getting to the Final Four there. Congrats to them. But yeah, you mentioned that some people around you are acting unruly already because Nebraska won for the first time in, I guess, 11 attempts. So talk to me, what was your first initial reaction watching the game and obviously seeing the outcome?
Yeah, I mean, I get the opportunity to sit courtside and call the games on 16-20 for I mean probably 80-85% of the home games and away games, but it was clear from the very very beginning that Nebraska, I mean, obviously they just wanted it more, right? And that's such a cliche thing to say, but in a rivalry game, right? These teams are separated by 45 miles. It's like that sometimes is the deciding factor in a game like that, right? It doesn't matter what the X's and O's are. It doesn't matter the matchups or talent levels. It truly is just, hey, who's gonna be that guy, or who's gonna go get that rebound or dive on the floor? And they just played, I mean, they played harder all around. It kind of looked like Creighton wanted to just roll the ball out and knew they were better than Nebraska. And especially a guy like Derek Walker. I mean, man, that dude just stuck his shoulder right into Kalkbrenner's chest, play after play after play, and just got easy looks around the rim.
The statement of it looked like Nebraska wanted it more, like you did mention, like it is a cliche. We hear that so often in sports, like, oh, the other teams just look like they wanted it more. It's not one that I really believed in necessarily or believe in. But it did look that way, though, unfortunately. Like, obviously, I know the boys really wanted to win this game. It's a rivalry game. Everybody really wants it badly. But like the product that was shown on the floor on Sunday, just it made it seem like Nebraska, it meant a little bit more to them on that day. And obviously, you know, they're riding high, they're on the road, they're coming together as a group. I'm talking about the Nebraska side, obviously. And you know, they come out of the first half up by two, thinking that they're world beaters, and that confidence definitely carried on in the second half. And you talked about Walker, you know, attacking Kalkbrenner. I had that question for you a little bit later, but since you brought it up right now, I guess it's as good a time as any to ask you this. This is the second time that we've seen a team's offense against the Jays predicated on attacking big Kalky down low, which is not a lot of teams are going to want to do that. We saw it with Usman Balo in the Arizona game for the Maui finals, and we just saw it with Walker in the Nebraska game. Is that something that the coaching staff is going to, you know, take heave of and be a little bit more careful about funneling all of that, all of their defense into Kalkbrenner if situations like that continue to occur?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on here, Jay. The first one is Brian's always been really good at not fouling, right? And so he's been, obviously reigning defensive player of the year in the Big East. And one of the reasons was because he never got into foul trouble. And as a big, that's really hard, especially as defenses are basically just funneling the opponent to the rim. And so I think with the adjustment that we're seeing is that opposing coaching staffs are actually just ISOing Kalkbrenner as opposed to putting him into ball screen
Ball
defense.
screen
Because,
situations,
yeah,
yep.
because he's been so good in not only guarding the on ball, ball handler coming off that screen, but also protecting the rim at the same time. So there's really no, right? We see that lob that Creighton gets a lot, right? Teams don't get that against Creighton because of Kalkbrenner's presence, his length, and his ability to move his feet. But what you're seeing is isolation situations, whether it is Ballo, whether it is Walker, where they're just catching the ball at the high post, right? High block. And they're just kind of saying, hey, man, I'm a little bit thicker than you. I'm a little bit stronger than you. I'm going to put my chest in, and then I'm going to create enough space, and I'm close enough to the rim where the finish is easy.
And it's so wild because like we're not used to seeing teams attack the Jays like that. I thought you needed a center like Balo, who's same height, definitely bigger, stronger than Kalkbrenner. I think maybe a little bit slower footed than Kalkbrenner is, but still he just uses his size, his length to get up and around him. Walker gave up a few inches on Kalkbrenner and just decided, I'm attacking your midsection and it doesn't really matter what you do. I'm gonna get this ball up and over you. Like I just I having seen Kalkbrenner's success, especially on the defensive end, is that's why I'm so flabbergasted as to why like this this decision by opposing coaches is working.
Yeah, I know. No, it is. It's not a good sign, right? Because that was on film. And so clearly, right, Fred Hoiberg saw something in that Arizona game and was like, yeah, I think that Derek Walker can do what Paulo did or Paulo did, even at that undersized, 6'9" that he was. He's not necessarily your true center, but I mean, he did a great job in that first half, especially just establishing dominance on the offensive end. Caught it at the high post and then went to work. He had good footwork himself. He had good body control. He was using his spin move a lot. But then in the second half, he just lowered his shoulder and went straight through and over the top of Kalkbrenner. And there really was no help either, right? It was a true isolation situation, right? And it's hard to defend that when the ball's in the middle of the floor and your four outer defenders are kind of stuck, right? They're like, hey, the ball's in the middle. I feel like I should gravitate towards that, but I also need to span out and stretch out to defend my man who's at the 3-point line. And I thought Nebraska didn't have great shooting numbers coming into that game. And so I thought they could have maybe pinched a little bit more when Walker did catch it. But yeah, that's something that the coaching staff's gonna have to adjust to if teams keep going this route.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm glad that you mentioned that too, because that's another thing that I saw is that like when the ball is in that high post free throw line situation, everybody on the floor is one pass away, and you're always taught naturally when you're one pass away to be a little bit closer to your guy. Our boys don't really deny. We're more like in that gap help situation, right? But still, like naturally, you open up your stance and you kind of say an arm's length away, but you're not really providing, the dig and the help that you need in order to do so. And if you do that, you're kind of screwed because again, you are one pass away. Even the guys in the corner, that's a direct line pass. I'm not sure what our X rotations and things like that look like because we haven't. We haven't needed to use it, this whole season too. So yeah, it's a tough situation, when we're asking Kalkbrenner to do so much defensively and Nebraska was able to pick it apart.
And they also, it wasn't your traditional post area either, right? I mean,
Right. Yeah, it wasn't on the
close up,
block. It
yeah, it
wasn't,
wasn't on the block where you
yeah.
can come with that fire action from the high side or the low
Right.
side. It's like this is at the free throw line, and now I mean, Walker has the ability to, take one dribble. If I step in too far, like you said, one pass away, now I'm just sitting at the 3-point line, wide open, ready to shoot. And so I honestly, you have to give a lot of credit to Fred Hoiberg and their team because they did play hard, and they came out with a great defensive game plan, right? I mean, Creighton only they didn't give up many points, right? I mean, they only gave up 63 points in that game on Sunday, and that should be good enough to win most college basketball games. And so it really happened for Nebraska on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, it should be good enough to win college basketball games when you're so elite as an
Oh.
offensive team as Creighton is. Like I've seen some of these lower scores, Tay, like 49, 45. Like I'm not
You're
calling out these
watching.
conferences who
Oh.
aren't scoring, but I'm telling you, I see some of
Oh,
these
you're
scores
watching
around the
too much
nation.
Virginia basketball, man. That's
Oh,
what you're
golly,
watching.
jeez. But that is true, though, what you mentioned about their defensive game plan. Like I was as intriguing as their offensive game plan was, their defensive game plan I thought was executed almost as flawlessly as you could. Granted, the Jays had some open looks that they missed. That happens at any point. But when you have the effort and the energy and the discipline and the hustle that Nebraska showed on Sunday, that's a very tough defense to go against. In my opinion, the toughest defense that the Jays have seen. And that's saying something good because they've seen Texas Tech, they've seen Texas. So, what is it about running guys off the line, funneling them baseline, having their X rotations ready to go, early help on the ball side? What was it about all that that got the Jays obviously a step slow? And then the mental game of missing shots, which I believe kind of carried over from the Texas game when they shot, I think, 15%. They only shot 25% or maybe even 20% from three in that Nebraska game. What is it about that defense that the Jays really struggled with?
Yeah, I think the Nebraska knew you're gonna have to give up something, right, in that matchup, right? You no matter what, and you kind of pick the lesser of two evils, right? Like what's not gonna hurt us the most? And so, Fred just basically saw that Texas game, and Texas did the same thing where they did it a little different, where they got out in the passing lanes and they just pressured and pushed Creighton all the way up out of the floor. Right. But Nebraska did such a good job inside the arc. And so for them to be able to basically force skip passes only, right? And you saw that so many times. Creighton guard would go in, one, two dribbles, defender comes, first pass is gone, second pass is open. Okay. And now that pass is a little longer, it's a little higher. Now I've got the ability to rotate out of that. I mean, how many times have we done shell drill? Like I can't even, like it's giving me some serious anxiety thinking about doing 4-on-4 shell drills. But it's like that's all it was. I mean, it was a shell drill executed to perfection. And one of the things I was thinking about after the game was Nebraska came out of the locker room at halftime and they did shell drill. That's what they did, right? So instead of just like
Like in
doing
their
like,
warm-ups, is that what
oh,
you're
in their
saying?
warmups, they didn't shoot, they didn't do layup lines, they did shell drill at halftime. Coming out of the first half, going into the second half, and it was like, hey, we're gonna stick to this defensive these de defensive principles, and we're gonna make Creighton shoot 40 threes, right? And you saw, I mean, ultimately you saw what happened, right? Creighton was 10 of 40. They missed 30 three-point attempts in that game. 30 missed.
Bro, I play with the Ethan Roggies of the world, the Doug McDermotts of the world. I need to go back and check one of our boxes, see if Mac ever allowed us to put up
40, 40
43s.
threes, man. Like, can you imagine that?
Woo!
Yeah, I was like,
I need to see if I got some eligibility left.
this
I'm trying
man
to get these
just
shots
steps on
up.
the court. As soon as he steps on the court, he's just firing. Left elbow out, left elbow out, chucking shots.
Man, that's crazy,
Yeah.
bro. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but I mean, kudos to Nebraska again. Like, you got to give props where it's due. As much as I hate it, I've met Fred Hoiberg a couple of times. Obviously, he was Doug's coach in Chicago, and then Coach Mag and the Iowa State connection there. I've met him a couple of times. He's a really good guy. So happy for him. Hate that he's on the Nebraska staff, obviously.
I
But
know.
like I was talking to, I'm gonna mention Toby Hegner because he was on the podcast last week. And one of the things that he mentioned is obviously when you're getting recruited or when you get to know these guys, you realize they're really good guys. Ed Cooley, a really good guy out of Providence, but you just hate them because they're for the other side, Like, so you see their success, you're like, okay, fine, whatever. But then, like, when it comes down to it, the boys have to go up against these guys. So you just hate to see it. Another thing that Toby Hegner mentioned last week, he was very big on, was the lack of scoring coming off the bench. Well, the Jays remedied that a little bit. Francisco Fabarello was their leading scorer, 16-point performance. He was the only player off the bench to score. However, in a game where there was a lot of negatives for the Jays, how big of a positive was it to see that we actually got some bench production, which they certainly lacked in Maui? They certainly lacked it against Texas in that Texas game in Austin. But to see Francisco finally get his legs under him a little bit and be able to see the shot go down, he was the only one that really was effective from three. He shot four from five from three. So talk to me about his performance and what you saw from him and how, that could be a light at the end of the tunnel, let's say, for the Jays bench woes.
Yeah, I mean, Jay, we got a chance to talk to Francisco after that game, and obviously he was disappointed because the team lost, right? And he was excited about the fact that he actually made some shots and got into a rhythm, because he hasn't had that opportunity yet this season to actually see the ball go through the basket. And you and I both know how like contagious that confidence is.
Importance it is, like, yeah.
It really is. And it's crazy to see like what happens at the end of the game when you don't care, right? Or you're not thinking about, oh, is this a good shot? Is this a bad shot? Should I take it? And the shot goes in, right? Because you're not thinking, right. You're not thinking about it. And so Francisco just kind of, he let it go, right? He let his guard down and just said, hey, somebody needs to put the ball in the bucket. And so I thought he did a great job. He was the only bright spot offensively for Creighton, and nice to see some bench production, because it is, and I think it'll continue to be an issue, right? I mean, we've seen the drop off, like those first five guys are so talented at that there's going to be an obvious drop off, right? It's just a matter of how big is that cliff. And so a guy like Francisco, a guy like Mason Miller, who we've seen hit shots, right? Those guys are going to be important down the stretch. But at the same time, you know, this is the first time we haven't played a top 25 team in 2 weeks. And you try to utilize the bench a little bit, and you know, you end up only scoring 50 some points.
Right. It's tough too, because like you mentioned, getting to a rhythm as someone coming off the bench. I've been in those situations before as a collegiate athlete, as a pro athlete now. It's very tough to get into a rhythm, like especially when, you know, you sit down after warm-ups, you sit down for the first, however real, like maybe it might be 4 minutes of game time, but it's about like 20 some minutes of like real time, like how, like what it feels like before, you know, you're thrusted back into the game, and you really have like a 2 to 3 minute span where you can show the coaches like, hey, I need to stay on the court. You know, like I deserve to be on the court in these moments. And like you said, the Southern Five is so talented that like, Mac and the staff can always just be like, hey, let's just throw our boys back in there and let's see if we can push a run on this team. So good for him to see the ball go in. I hope that it's, you know, something that continues. And I understand how, you know, the difficult spot that he's placed into as well. Him, Mason Miller, I've been vouching for him to get some more playing time. Obviously, he showed what he could do a little bit in Maui. We had an off game at Texas and then also at Nebraska. But you know, I would encourage the staff to just keep going back to those bench guys, because it's a long season. You can have your starting five playing 32 to 35 minutes a game. It's going to burn them out, and we don't want that to happen near the end of the season. So, and also those guys need the experience, right? Like Sharif is the only guy on that bench that really has experience in a Creighton jersey. So he needs to build up that experience through the other guys, who is going to be asked to come up big at some point this year. Like we all know it, like as bench players, at some point, you're going to have the game that helps everybody and is going to maybe change the season around, or at least change the team's fortune for a little while. So, yeah, I just think it's very important to, you know, address, you know, what the bench woes have been, and see if we could turn that ship around a little bit.
Yeah.
Having said all that, I need to ask you this question. The Jays have now lost 3 games in a row. What is the current state of the Jays? What should we expect from here? You know, they got the Vegas trip this weekend. They play BYU and Arizona State, a chance for them to redeem themselves a little bit against, you know, a BYU team that's struggling a little bit this year, but an Arizona State team that's been really feisty, been really competitive. They've only got one loss on their record. So what is the current state of the Jays? Where do we go from here, Stoneberg?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Jay. I think they're going to get back to where they were in Maui, right? I mean, they shot the ball so well in some really high level and high intensity games. And they just need to get back to that, right? And get back to that confidence piece. And they got too many good pieces, right, for guys to go and 0-for, right? We saw, you know, Trey Alexander goes 0-for-8 against Texas, and then Arthur Kaluma comes out on Sunday and goes 0-for-8 as well.
Yeah.
And it's like,
0-for-6 from 3, 0-for-2 from 2.
Right. And like those guys are both potential NBA players. Like that's not going to happen that often. And so you're going to have that span of games that you're going to have an off night. And so you just can't have 2 or 3 of those guys have the same off night. And so once they find, right, once they find the rhythm together, I think they're going to be right back to where everybody expects them to be. One of the things that I'm sure whether it was on your list of questions or not, was just, They got a target on their back now this year. And that's a lot different. It's a totally different mindset than what it was like last year. I mean, think about when we were playing, right? Like when we started, right? Like we were not very good.
Yeah,
Like
that
we
first
were
year
not,
with Mac,
oh my, we were not good. And then by year,
win one,
like,
lose one, win two, lose
yeah.
two. It was tough stretch there for
It
a while,
was,
yeah.
it's tough. But then by the time, right, the time we're graduating, it's like, hey, we're a top 10, top 15 team in the country. And it's like, that's a totally different ball game. Like people are going to bring everything they have. They're going to play their best game against you, instead of you playing your best game against them. And so, I fully expect Creighton to come out and really kick some butt this weekend, in Vegas. We all thought it was going to happen on Sunday, right?
Right.
First time home in what,
In
two
a
weeks?
while, yeah.
Yeah, and in front of the first time the crowd was actually alive, and but they just kind of laid an egg, and so they just have to get back to that win column. I think that's going to be the most important piece, and then start finding that rhythm heading into Big East play. Because, like you said, I mean, BYU's struggling a little bit, so that could be a get right game for them. But I mean, Arizona State could be undefeated, right? I mean, they're up 15, right? I mean, like up big at against Colorado, and ultimately didn't get it done. But it's just like that. Those are two games right there that are on the seat right before the season starts. You're thinking, hey, here's a win, here's a win. So now just go execute, right? Go get your game plan right and get yourself right and go do your thing.
I wish I was, I had the seat that you had. Obviously, I was watching it through the TV, listen to Nick Boss. Shout out Nick Boss, he's doing an
Shout out
incredible
Nick.
job for Fox.
Oh my gosh.
We remember his NET days way back in the day when they had him doing crazy segments coming up to old gym. He had to sit down with me and Doug. He was playing horse with Ethan and
Yeah.
Kyle, or Caleb Korver, sorry. Yeah, shout out to Nick Ba. You've come a long way, brother.
Oh
We see
man.
the grind. We appreciate the
We
grind.
appreciate the grind, and that hair is looking better and better every day, man.
Man, my guy's looking Benjamin Button disease. The older he gets, the younger he looks. What's
Seriously, I know
going
the teeth are white, the hair's growing. It's
on?
like whatever he's drinking, I need some. I need a little bit of that.
But what I wanted to say was, it just felt, at least from the TV perspective, that the crowd was just waiting for a reason to pop. And every time, like, they were just about to, something bad happened. Like, the Jays could just never get over that proverbial hump. Like, so you were courtside, obviously you got the big headsets on, but like, could you feel like the anxiety or the electricity in the air, whatever it is, of the crowd just waiting for something to happen so that it could let loose a little bit?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you couldn't have said it any better, Jay. Like the crowd was just waiting for that moment to go on a run, and it just never happened. And it was you always have the crowd. I think CHI does a great job. Creighton fans do a great job. Like, hey, when Creighton needs it, when the team needs it, they get up and they get ready to go, right? But what was happening is crowd was trying to pump them up, get them ready to go, get a stop defensively, and then Nebraska would score, right? Or Creighton would come down and they'd get a bucket and the whole crowd's going wild, and then Nebraska would score. And it was just
Right.
like it just seemed like they could never really go on that stretch run that they needed to. The crowd was just struggling to get into the game. And
Right.
again, credit back to Nebraska, as much as it pains us to say that, it's like that pace that game was played at, especially in the second half, was completely in their favor, right? I mean,
It was crazy. Sorry, I don't mean to
oh.
interrupt you, but I remember looking at the time. Like, I just felt like we had a lot of time left, and it was like 8 minutes on the clock. And I was like, wait, what is going on? Because the score was still pretty low. And like, in my mind, when the score is that low, I'm just like, oh, we got 16 minutes of
Oh,
game
yeah.
clock left, Before you know it, it was 8.5 minutes left. I'm just like, oh, the boys are a little bit in trouble here. Like, we need to get our act together.
It was about that 12, the 12-minute mark in the second half, where it started to get a little tense, right? Where it was like, they kind of, Nebraska kind of has the stiff arm out. Like they got the Heisman pose going, and they're like,
the
hey, yo, sorry, man, but like you're not getting this game to a one or two possession game. And they didn't let it happen. I mean, they really didn't. Which kind of leads us to kind of the theme over the last three losses is just Creighton playing from behind. And that's something that I've talked about a lot recently, because it's a trend that's happened in the games that we've lost. Right? I mean, you look at that Arizona game, there's a 4 or 5 minute stretch to end the first half, and Arizona goes up big going into halftime, right? And you look at that Texas game, and Trey Alexander comes back from a TV timeout right around like 14 minutes. And the score is 36-37 after he knocks down two free throws. Texas goes on a 10-0 run. Now it's 36-47. And then you see what happened to start the second half against Nebraska. It's a 2-point ball game, right? That's one possession. That's one basket. And Creighton could be in the lead. And Nebraska comes out, goes on a 6-0 run right out of halftime.
Yeah, it's tough sledding for sure, and especially like when you don't have much going offensively for you. The starting five, which carried the load offensively for the entirety of the season, honestly, so far, was really shut down and held pretty much ineffective in that game. The only two double-digit scores were Kalkbrenner and Baylor, right? Was it Baylor or was it
Yeah,
N
Baylor.
yeah, Kalkbrenner and Sharman. I expected Trey Alexander to have a really big bounce back game from that Texas game that didn't really happen. Another guy that's been a little bit missing in action for the time being is Arthur Kaluma. And I know how good and how talented of a player he is, but he kind of, it kind of feels like sometimes he gets into these lulls where he doesn't quite know where to fit in with this group. So you're the guy that's watching the games on court side and you're commenting on them too. What are some of the things that Arthur can do to find himself in better scoring situations and really get his game going? Because we've seen, like, especially last year down the stretch, he's had some pretty good games here to start the year too. When he gets going, he's really tough to stop and his confidence is sky high and he can kind of do anything. But there are sometimes situations where, like, he just feels, it just feels like the game isn't coming to him and he really struggles out there. So what would you say if you were in a room with him to give him some advice? What would you tell him?
Yeah, well, first, Jay, I don't think he's probably listening to my advice. I don't think I was ever a projected late first round pick in the NBA draft. So
Fair enough.
he'd probably be like, "Who are you?" Be like, "Oh,
Yeah.
you don't see me on the headset." But no, I think, I mean, you bring up a good point because Arthur's such a he's such a critical piece to this Creighton team, especially offensively. And he's just struggled against some of that higher level competition. It really started in Maui, where he was just trying to do too much, right? And it didn't, it only affected Creighton with one loss. But we go back to that Texas game. I felt like he was the guy on the floor that matched Texas's athleticism, right? And he comes out and he's got double digits in the first half, right? 11 points in the first half. And you're thinking, okay, here's a guy that like we're matching up against the number two team in the country, and we've got a guy on the floor that can either meet or exceed what Texas brings athletically. And in the second half, he's just non-existent. I mean, like you forgot that he was on the floor. And so it's hard to kind of pinpoint one thing with what's going on because every game has been a little bit different. And he just hasn't, you mentioned this, but he just hasn't really found his space, like where he fits in to this team of so many good players, especially in that starting five.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're definitely expecting big things from him too, because like you said, he's a projected NBA guy. Got a chance to see him, play this summer a little bit. He played for his national team too, so he's got some international experience. Like he really knows the game of basketball, but like I said, like it's just sometimes like in stretches too, it just seems like he catches the ball and he doesn't necessarily know what to do with it. If he's not catching and attacking right away, he kind of becomes a liability out there because, you know, like we mentioned his 3-point shooting earlier in the podcast, he just couldn't find a bucket against Nebraska, especially in times where you would think somebody of his caliber and his talent would certainly be able to get a bucket here or there. So, you know, obviously we need him to get back to feeling like himself. So, because you know the Jays are in a tough way right now. Like they've got a lot of answers. Oh, they need to find a lot of answers. They dropped down in the polls, which I thought the polls were a little bit more favorable to us than I expected them to be, because of my personal experience. Anytime we lost a game in the Valley, it
Oh,
was
it's like
over.
you're done.
Like
Oh, you're done.
we were out of
Yeah.
there.
It's like,
We were
what?
out of
Like,
there.
are you kidding? We played at Wichita and if we lost, and now we're dropping from like 12 out of rankings. Like, Wichita ends up going to the Final Four that year. It's like, wait a second. Like, what? No,
Mind you, we beat them at home and in the Valley tournament like
and a
later
tournament.
that year, you know,
Yes.
like.
Exactly. Yeah. I went back to Arthur real quick. I just like winning and making shots cures a lot of problems. And I think he's got so much going on in his head, whether it's the expectation that was put on him this season or the injury that he had. And he is rehabbing all summer. So he didn't get a lot of reps in. He didn't get a lot of personal training in because he was rehabbing his lower half. And so he just hasn't got back to that. He hasn't really knocked the rust off from what we saw, last season, which was incredible, right? You go back to that Kansas game and it's like, dude, like this guy needs to be in the
All
NBA right
world,
now. Like he was the best player on the floor for the team, against the team that ended up winning the national title. And so he needs to get back to playing with that kind of confidence, because that all the second guessing and, oh, should I be doing this? Am I that great? Am I dribbling too much? Do I need to pass to my teammate? Right? Like, let's go play basketball, man. Like, you're a 19-year-old kid. Like, just go have fun and enjoy the game of basketball.
Well, we mentioned earlier that the Jays play BYU in Vegas, Arizona State. After that, these are the last two games as they do their final tuning up before Big East play. Big East play is right in front of us. I don't know if we've realized that or not. I feel like the season is going by incredibly fast. It was just yesterday that we had that little scare against St. Thomas coming into CHI. And then all of a sudden, we're going to be at Marquette, I think is how the Jays open up Big East play. But BYU is led by Gideon George. He's a 6'6 forward, 12 and a half points a game. And by Rudy Williams, a 6'2 Canadian guard. Let's go out of
Oh,
Hamilton, Ontario.
look
Shout
at
out to
you
all
doing.
my
Look at you doing
Canadians.
your research, man.
Shout out to all my Canadians doing it big, though. Division I basketball, we out here. Let's get it. But I only wanted to mention this. When we see BYU on the schedule, because they played them last year at Sioux Falls, right? They played them in Sioux Falls last year, and we're
Top of
playing
the
them this year in
Pentagon.
Vegas, right? Anytime that we see BYU on the schedule, do you get anxiety and flashback from when Jimmer was making his appearance
Oh
to
my
Omaha?
God, dude. Seriously. No, but it wasn't Jimmer, dude. You did such a great job on Jimmer. Like you held him, you our defense held him to the lowest point total of the season.
Taylor, I'm so glad you
But
fixed that because you said you held him, then you fixed it. You said our defense held him. I am not taking any Jimmer
Oh no, that
stopper
was,
credits at all.
dude.
I don't want to see that, man. I promise
No, I mean, how well we play defensively because Mac started calling ball screen defenses Jimmer, right? Where we would come off the screen and basically just double him until he gets rid of the rock.
Basically, yeah, funnel him into that double team until he gets rid of it. Don't let him split you. Don't let him do all that. Just two guys to the ball. And then I guess the back end would be allow Brandon Davies to go for a career high at the
That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, I have no,
Right.
I don't think about Jimmer as like one of the greatest players I ever watched play. right, or ever played against. I think of Davies as one of the best big men that I've ever seen in the CHI, because that dude just ate our lunch. I think, did he have like 24 and like 18? Like
25 and no, 25 and 12. I had to look it
12.
up this
Okay.
morning just to
I
make
was
sure.
like,
But both of those were career highs for him at the time. You
yeah.
know, like it was Jimmer's show. I think he was a sophomore or a junior that year, Brandon Davies.
Yeah.
But it was Jimmer's show for like most of his career, you know. So like that was a big game for him. But most of the time it was Jimmer going for 55. Like
Oh, yeah. That
what
dude was
more do
just
you
chucking.
want?
Yeah, I was just chucking. But no, I definitely, like, every time I see BYU on TV or anything like that, I'm always like, I remember that prep so well, because I thought we did such a great job. And, ultimately ended up losing that game. But I don't feel like we deserve to lose.
Speaking of that prep, remind me for a second, because I know Croft handled a lot of Coach Crawford, shout out to him too, handled a lot of like that Jimmer responsibility in that prep. But if I remember correctly, you had a couple possessions where you had to play Jimmer Fredette. It was either between you or if it was Ross, I'm not quite sure. It had to be one of you guys.
And I was getting buckets, Jay. I
But
was
that's
getting
okay,
a
good.
certified bucket, because anytime you touch the
I'm glad
ball,
I
you could
remember that
shoot.
correctly. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted to get at. When you got the ultimate neon
Oh
green
man,
light, how
yeah,
good does that feel?
it feels
Practice or not,
amazing.
game or not?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the crazy part about the offensive struggles right now, because it's like all those guys have the green light at any time.
Right.
Right. And so it's so surprising that they're struggling to score, because it's like they're all great basketball players. And so now they just got to like mold together a little bit to like make that green light work in their favor, because it did. Baylor was 0 of his first 9 down in Texas, and that was
Right.
like, keep shooting
And
the
then he made
ball.
some crazy shots down the
Yeah.
stretch to keep the game tight. Yeah.
It's like, just keep shooting. And so it's wild that it's like, the last two games offensively have just been so poor, because it's like those guys have no fear of ever, like, you remember like taking a bad shot and then next thing you heard was
And you, that immediate look over your
you're
shoulder
like
to see if you're coming out. Oh, 100%.
you're like oh my God, not again,
Yeah.
right? And but that doesn't happen anymore. And so it's like those guys should be willing to like Pat, well, it still does happen. It definitely does
No,
happen. It's only second team. It's only
I was
second
literally,
team guys.
no, listen, I was literally about to say, and you know what, you're kind of right there too, because that happened to one of my teammates earlier this season. Like he took a trend and like a transition three that we really didn't need in that moment. And like he like giggled on his way out of the game when the coach pulled him out, and the coach also, because he's like, it's like at this point in our careers, we know, right? Like we know, like, oh, this shot better go in or I'm done.
I
As soon as
am
the next dead
done.
ball happened, he didn't even do the look over his shoulder. He literally turned and started jogging to the sideline because he knew it. He just knew he was gonna get taken out. So he kind of giggled on his way out, and the coach couldn't help but laugh too. That happened to my teammate earlier this season. So it
That's
definitely still happens. It just kind of depends on the situation that you find
yeah.
yourself
Yeah.
in. That's insanity, though. But if you guys need advice about what it looks like or how you should feel as a player having the neon green light, let's see if I can get Ethan Rogge on the
Oh
horn to talk to you guys about how it should look and feel like to know that like every shot you don't have to worry about getting pulled out or miss or whatever. Like if it leaves your hands, like I think Mac has given that to like a handful of guys in his tenure.
yeah.
Doug obviously comes to mind. Ethan comes to mind.
Yeah, Mitch.
Mitch definitely comes to mind. There were some games, Trey Alex
Tyson.
sorry, yeah, Tyshawn Alexander.
Yeah.
Oh my, like Tyshawn really like had some games where he just was cooking guys in the mid-range, especially, and then he would extend it back to the three-point line. Marcus Zagorowski had some games where Coach Mack just kind of let him go because he was, you know, playing so well. So like these guys on the floor, like I just feel like they should kind of understand that and find that they're pretty fortunate to be in this system, because like Mac has been really, you know, forgiving for some of the shots, you know, that they've been missing, because he really does truly believe that you know, they're better shooters than what the numbers and like the stats show so far. So, you know, if I had advice for the boys, it would be just keep shooting.
Yeah.
You know, this is gonna be the last question that I ask you. as we head into Big East play, you know, what I guess I asked you what advice you have for Kaluma, but what advice do you have for the team in general as far as like their play and what they should expect? And, you know, what I guess the fans and the rest of, you know, Blue Jay Nation is expecting out of them.
Yeah. I mean, it really is just like, it's a long season, man. Like it really is. And so
we've put a lot of pressure on this team. Like, does it feel that way?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was wild that so Baylor came over after the Nebraska game to do a little post game interview. And there was a fan behind us and he goes, well, there goes our chances of being a 1 or 2 seed. Right. And it's just like, dude, like what? Like, what are we talking about, man? Like, and so just everybody just needs to calm down. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Right. In the words of Aaron Rodgers, just relax. Right. It's really going to be okay. And so
is that the words that Aaron Rodgers is famous for? If we're selling Aaron Rodgers t-shirts, is it going to say just relax at the bottom?
Oh, he did it. Oh, on his post game. He was like, R-E-L-A-X. Like, we're fine.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And so I just like, I hope that they just need to get back in the win column. Like, they got to get that confidence. They got to get that swagger back, right? Like, they have the pieces. Like, the pieces are there for them to be an Elite Eight Final Four caliber team. And so now it's just about, like, believing that in the midst of all of kind of this turmoil, all of the negativity, all the doubt of losing 3 straight games. Because you've shown – right in Hawaii, you showed everybody how good you were. I mean, you went out and you should have won 3 games against top 25 teams. Ultimately, 3 games again or 2 games against top 10 teams, and so and then go on the road the very next week and could have beat Texas, right? And just have one of your worst shooting performances. So I've got no doubt that the shooting woes are going to kind of flip back into the favor of Creighton, because it is it's a game of numbers, but most importantly, to reference our good friend Mr. Len Gordy, you gotta be shot makers, not shot takers.
Right. You gotta make shots, not take shots. I feel you on that one 100%. Shout out Coach Gordy too. Before I let you go, gotta put you on the spot here. You're an Omaha native. Gotta ask you, what's the best food spot in Omaha?
Oh my gosh, wow. The best, you're asking a foodie, dude. Like I
know that, and I one that's lived in Omaha for the majority of his life too.
I mean give me a genre. I need a type of food, because
all right, let's go best Mexican in Omaha. What you got for me?
Oh my god, the best Mexican in Omaha. I go best tacos over on 24th and Park Ave is La Casita. That spot is fire. Taco Tuesday, $2. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. Best street tacos in Omaha. No doubt about it. But yeah, I mean, the first restaurant that comes to mind right now, just because I haven't had it in a while, but Yoshitomo in Benson is like the best. It's the best sushi on the planet. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably one of my favorite. That's like my favorite, like, hey, treat yourself dinners, get the wife all dolled up, take her out into town. And then as new parents in bed by 9:30. So it's,
of course, if not earlier.
It's like in the summertime, the sun's not even going down and you're already just like. Man.
Taylor, favorite arena to play in the Valley?
Oh, there's more questions?
Oh come on. I gotta put you on the spot. Come on now.
Oh my gosh. Favorite arena to play in the Valley? That's probably Wichita. I'd say Wichita.
Yep.
By far. I mean, just an incredible atmosphere. I still remember we played there. I think it was maybe my senior year, your junior year. And it was New Year's Day.
Oh, when we beat them and we had to take the bus back and we stopped at a gas station for ice cream.
It was like 4 degrees outside and Max like, hey, we're getting off the bus. There's a Baskin Robbins. It's like, have 31 flavors your way, man. I was like, Dude, it's like 12:30. Like, what are we doing?
Well, later on, having a conversation with Lou and Mac and all those guys about that trip, you know, they purposely booked that bus so that we
Oh.
didn't fly back in time to enjoy ourselves for New Year's. We
Yeah,
know
to
this,
actually,
right?
yes.
Okay.
Oh, 100%. We
It's a
got this.
conspiracy. I just put it out there, boys.
No, that's a fact. That is
Yeah.
100% a fact. They're like, we're getting back at 4 a.m. so that these guys
Right.
can't go out and have
Heads in beds.
heads
Right.
in beds. Oh my gosh.
Favorite college basketball memory?
Oh, favorite college basketball memory. I would say, I mean, NCAA in tournament. I mean, both my junior and senior year, right? Winning those first round games.
Right.
Which is, I mean, that was incredible. That at the atmosphere, like it's all what you dream about as a kid. Like, I mean, obviously playing college basketball is one thing, but to make the dance, it's a totally different experience. Something that you think about. Yeah, you tell my kids. I'm gonna tell my little girl about that. Right?
Hell yeah.
That's how cool that was.
All right. Any last words for Jays fans before we head on out tonight?
No, man. I just want to know how you're doing, dude. How have you been? We haven't seen each other in a while.
Bro, I'm doing good. Aside from obviously my life getting twisted and upside down when the Jays lose, like I'm doing good. My season here is going really well.
Okay.
We're at the top of the table here in the Austrian League. We're at the top of the table in our European competition. So I'm doing good. I really don't have much to complain about right now. Life is really, really good. So,
Yeah, that's awesome.
yeah.
I love hearing that. Oh, you're smiling over there. You're cheesing, man.
Right.
You gotta stop cheesing.
We gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here. Taylor
Oh, God.
Stoneberg,
Okay.
I appreciate you so much, obviously, taking time out to talk to me. I can see it under your eyes, bro. You gotta get some more sleep if you can, brother. I can see
I don't know. I get it. I'm
it.
trying, dude. No, I just started.
Yeah.
I started my own company a couple months ago too. So I just am. We've been burning it on both ends, but it's been a fantastic experience. And add basketball in there too. And it's just like it's been a lot of fun, man. It's been a lot of fun the last couple of months. So.
Like I said at the top of the show, dude, you've always been one of my favorite teammates, one of my favorite brothers. Like this basketball journey, it's allowed me to meet so many people. So many people that I care about that are lifelong friends. Now, you're definitely in that group, brother. So I love you. I appreciate you so much. Obviously, you're going to need to come back on the program. It's a long season, but you're going to have to come back.
I would love
Yeah.
that, man. And just for the listeners out there, I still remember that first time that you came to. I think you were being recruited. I don't think you had signed yet, and you came and we played at the then CenturyLink Center.
Century, oh no,
The
Quest Center,
Quest.
Omaha,
Are
baby.
we in the Quest?
Ooh,
Are we in the
the
Quest
Quest Center,
though?
no.
You came to the Quest Center and I was like driving down the lane. We were on the same team for pickup. I was driving down the lane and you yelled out 45. And I was like, what is this dude talking about? And I turned around and you're like, 45, 45, I'm open, 45. And I'm just like, what is this guy talking about? So you got to tell the people what 45 means from
So
you're up
that's
north.
so funny. Okay, so growing up, that is just kind of like what we were taught when you're on the court. So let's just say I'm open in the corner, I would yell corner. If I'm open on the wing, what would you guys say?
We say on the wing.
Yeah, well, we say 45 because that's the
Yeah, I
angle
know.
that you're on exactly. So we would say 45. Like that is how like we learned of the diameters of the basketball court, I guess. So I just thought that was universal. I didn't know that I was gonna get called out in the Midwest of all places. I thought you Midwest folk were nice, man. I thought I was going
Man.
in, it was gonna be just smooth sailing, calm seas. But
Oh,
you,
man, dude.
for the first couple of months when I was on campus, anytime we want to pick up together, if I had the one that I was driving and you're open on the wing, you would yell 45 just to piss me off. And I just always love that about you. Like there's some things that like your elephant brain remembers some of these like minute details, and I just
I
love whenever
do.
you bring it up.
Oh yeah, I just love I that's like a memory that I'll never forget that playing for the first time, but I always appreciate your energy, brother. You bring so much light, so much love to the world. So, I always appreciate our time together and I miss you.
Of course, bro. We need some more times like we had this summer for your sister's birthday. We
Absolutely.
need to get on the links together at some point. Like,
Oh, you don't want that.
I'm
You
so
don't want
upset
that.
that I saw so that you, I forgot where you were. You were
Oh, I
doing some
know.
work travel.
Yeah, I
Well,
had to
we couldn't link
travel.
up this summer for, yeah, for golf, but we'll have to do that this summer for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That sounds
All
good,
right.
man.
Take care of yourself. I appreciate you. Make sure to like and subscribe to the Field of 68 Media Network for more content such as this. My name is Johannes Vaniga. I was your host. This is Taylor Stormberg, aka Thundercat. Appreciate you, brother. As always, we like to end off by saying, go Jays.
Go Jays.